Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe B's Monday Football Call-In brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here. By Approved Oil, lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com, and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Yesterday, the New York Jets hit a new level of ineptitude. Joe, I mean, it's just, this franchise sucks. How are you?
Oh, they're a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, yesterday was, you know, probably in a season of one brutal loss after another, I thought yesterday might have been the worst of all of them. I really did.
What made it so bad, Joe? Well, was it the fact that they weren't winning? They sucked at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, well, they didn't get a first down for what? But, 6 straight three and outs before they finally got a first down?
Yeah, 5 of them. But then they got themselves in winning position. Right?
Here's where the game was lost, okay, as far as I'm concerned. They're up 24-22, and if you saw the Bill Chief game, Buffalo was in exactly the same position the Jets were in yesterday. A 4th and 2, right around the 20-yard line, same thing, about the same time in the game and all of that. 24-22, 4th and 2, I'm with my buddy Tommy Keenan watching the game. We are screaming, you have to go for it. You're 3-7. Don't play not to lose and kick the field goal. Go for it, because even if you don't get it on 4th and 2, you're going to lose the game anyway. I had no confidence in the defense. Remember, the defense, after they took an 8-point lead, and they should have went for 2 there as well, after they took an 8-point lead, went right down the field in like 5 plays for a touchdown. I mean, so why would I be confident that they were going to stop them this time? I knew they were dead. When he didn't go for it at 4th, and Rodgers wanted to go for it, and he somewhat, it seemed to me, threw Ulbrich under the bus a little bit after the game, you know, and he wanted to go for 2 as well when they went up, by 7, 23-16. So to me, that's where the game was lost. I knew the defense was going to give it up.
I
knew they were.
You nailed it, because if they hadn't allowed the Bills to march down the field on the prior drive, maybe Colts. I would have been the Colts. What am I saying? The ball? Because I'm thinking of that Bills.
Well, Buffalo did the same thing. Right. And he went for it, and Josh Allen ran 20 yards for a touchdown.
Now, and you're so right. It was the same. It was 4th and 2 from the 25-yard line. It was basically the same situation.
Yep.
If the Jet defense had not allowed Anthony Richardson and the Colts to march down the field on the prior drive, I probably would have been more okay with,
kick
the field goal, keep him out of the end zone and win it. But that showed me I can't trust this defense to make a stop. Your only chance to win the game is to get a first down, bleed the clock, or score a touchdown.
That's it. And that was it, you know, and I knew they were going to lose. Look, I mean, there's so many things about this game that made you crazy. I mean, how about the fact, just think about this. The Jets had 2 penalties yesterday. Yeah. They didn't have, there was no penalties in this game in the first half on either team. They didn't get a penalty till the 4th quarter. Fastenu had that holding penalty, but I think they overcame it anyway and scored.
Yep.
They didn't turn it over. They have 2 penalties in the game that did not hurt them at all, yet they still find a way to lose. You know, Breece Hall has a phenomenal game, catching the ball, running, couple touchdowns, all of that. And they still find a freaking way to lose this game.
Right. I mean, no penalties, Joe, and no turnovers either.
Right.
Which is what's killed them recently. Now, the challenge for the Jets is, like, what do you want to even see going forward? You know what I mean? Like, that's the hard question for the Jet fan.
Well, I mean, they still got 6 games.
I know.
I want to win some games here. I mean, I do. I mean, I'm tired of losing. It's the same old, and this right now, this season is on its way to be as bad, considering the expectations, considering Rodgers. you know, as bad a season as we've ever had. You know, right there with the Richie Kotite 2 years that he was here, and we won 4 games in 2 years. I mean, that's how bad this season is shaping up to be. They were a better team last year. Let's be honest.
They
about
were.
It.
Right. They were every which way. Like, I know the quarterback has played better than the quarterback play of a year ago, but the results are kind of the same. They don't score enough points.
Nope.
They don't take shots down the field ever. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'm convinced, doesn't want to take shots down the field because he doesn't want to ruin his stats. He doesn't want to throw interceptions.
Is that what you think?
What other reason do you have then?
I don't know. I mean, but he's getting rid of the ball it seems like just
it's
about
quick.
Every pass he throws is this quick pass.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I think that.
Yeah, I think the challenge.
I find that hard to believe.
How about the final drive of the game? And I understand there's 46 seconds left, no timeouts. He takes the sack with no timeouts left and the clock's running down. Throw the ball up. He got nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah, that's a specific play. He needs it to develop, and he just doesn't have time. I think you're right, Joe. He is getting rid of the ball fast. But the thing that, like, going into this game, we have to do these, I don't know, storylines that we may talk about. And one of the storylines that we wanted to bring up was about his lack of connection with Davante Adams. I think his catch percentage was like 51% or something.
Well,
like
he had a decent game, Devontae.
No, but he did this game. But, but prior to this game, it's almost like Aaron's ready to throw the ball and his receivers aren't.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so the timing, for whatever, it's not right. And it should have been, especially given the familiarity that they have with one another. That, to me, is the biggest issue with Aaron Rodgers and his receiving corps. It's why Breece Hall has 300, or now he has almost 400 yards receiving, because he ends up just being the safety net. Like, all right, you're not ready. I'm just going to chuck it down to Breece Hall.
You know, a couple things. First of all, and you said this during the broadcast. I think it was you. Breece Hall said he has never the primary receiver on a play. I believe you guys, it was one of you guys.
Yeah, I think Jason said that.
I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He's never the primary. I mean, can we throw the guy a screen pass every now and then?
Well, other than the screens, he's talking about, you know, because he has, I got to look at the exact
number.
He's
got Marshall Faulk ability as a receiver.
No doubt. And I got to look at the number of receiving yards that he has. He's got 400 receiving yards. I think it's first or second in the league for running backs. Alvin Kamara is the only one.
Right.
And, I mean, 47 catches, I'd probably say 38 of them are just checkdowns.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. What a touchdown was a checkdown yesterday.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, like, nothing is ever on schedule with this offense. That's why it's frustrating to watch. Nothing, it seems, Aaron Rodgers gets back to his last, you know, drop spot, and the ball's coming out, receivers on time, ball's on time, you know, good play. You're not seeing that. It feels all improvised.
Well, you know what else, too, watching the game yesterday, and this is very frustrating to me as well. The Colts receivers are open all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're watching these guys come wide open, you know, for Richardson to throw the ball to, and it just seems like our guys are never open.
Never.
You know what, right?
Yeah.
And you saw it, like, immediately on that opening drive where the Colts kicked that field goal. They had a third down right out of the gate.
Yep.
So the Jet defense had a chance, three and out. And Josh Downs was so wide open. There was no one near him. We saw it with Alec Pierce late in the game, too.
Yeah, well,
there were so many examples where Colt receivers were just completely wide open. And you're right, you never see that with the Jets right now.
Never. I mean, these guys always seem like they're covered. And like Tiki pointed out, how many times have I seen, especially with Adams, you know, Rodgers is throwing the ball this way and Adams is going the other way. I mean, we see this seemingly constantly. But, I don't know what to think. I mean, this is still better quarterback play than I've seen probably since the big year that Fitzpatrick had 9 years ago.
So you're right, but here's the problem. Like, I can't deny that, but I think that says more about how god-awful the quarterback play of our franchise has been. Because if you look at his numbers, he is, and really just evaluate him, he's been middle of the pack, if not worse, compared to every other quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
So he hasn't. That's not good enough. Like, it's better than Zach Wilson. Great. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But he's not good enough.
I look at this season. The kicking game has killed us, has cost us probably 3 games.
Yeah.
Certainly 2. The defense has cost us 2 games, yesterday's game and the Patriot game, the second one, obviously. So that's, you know, 4 games. Let's just say 4 games right there that I can't pin on a quarterback. I'm sorry. I mean, I just can't. You know what?
How many times, and you could even include yesterday's game, I know it's only 46 seconds, is the ball in his hands with a chance for him to erase all of those mistakes and win anyway?
Yeah, I understand that. I get it. But, you know, look, he was in a tough spot. They had no timeouts. The timeout, as this is the other thing. The timeout that Obrey called before the field goal. You know, if he called timeout there and went for it, You know, if you call timeout there to come up with a play that we're going to go for it now and try to win this game right here, I'm good with the timeout.
Yeah, but and why not? You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you have to lose? You're 3-7.
That's what I mean. Of course. But when you call timeout because you want to preserve 5 yards for the kicker who just made a 58-yarder, okay, whatever it was, I mean, what are you doing? Look, Ulbrich is not a head coach. We know that. He's way over. What Woody should have done, well, he shouldn't have fired Sal. I mean, we look at hindsight, that was a major mistake. But what he should have done is something similar to what they've done in New Orleans. Don't make your defensive coordinator the head coach. Make a lower-level assistant the head coach. And don't mess with your defense, right? I mean, seriously.
Yes, yes.
Right?
That would have been the better option. The only thing I'm also wondering about with Robert Saleh, to credit him, as much as we killed him and I definitely killed him, is maybe he was that involved in the defense. Maybe even if they did do that, where they promoted Boyer or Nate or whomever, maybe the defense would have been affected anyway because Saleh was that valuable and we just didn't realize it.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the – because most teams do exactly what you just said, Joe. It's a lower-level assistant.
Yeah.
Think about the Raiders. It was Rich Bisaccia who was – Not lower level, but you know what I mean. He's
special
a special teams.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
and then think about last year with Antonio Pierce. He was a linebacker coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was the DC.
Right.
So I think you're right. Most teams, if they're going to fire their coach midseason, it's not a coordinator who they throw into that role.
Yeah. So I know. It was a big mistake. Now, I talked to Evan earlier today, okay? And the more I've thought about this as far as the head coach going forward, okay? And let me just say, I want Rodgers back. I said this already. Bring him back. Who's the quarterback next year? He's how much money, dead cap money, if you let him go?
Right.
And I want to draft a young quarterback. And I'll take it.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shot again next year for one more time. Obviously, it's going to be a new regime. But I talked to Evan about this, and here's the guy, Evan. You said it. As the more I think about it, okay, you know I want to see Rex. I've said I want Rex.
Yep.
But the more I think about it, the guy who I want coaching his team, and you and I talked about it today, is Brian Flores.
I'm telling you, that's the guy.
I want him.
Yep.
He did a great job in Miami. He got hosed for this clown, McDaniel. I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, he's the weirdest guy I've ever seen coaching an NFL team.
But he's got a good offensive brain, but I hear you.
Okay. He does. Fine. All right. But they let this guy go. They hose him. He's suing the league. This guy, to me, is a mini Mike Tomlin. Okay.
Well, I think
he's no nonsense.
And he went and worked there. He went and worked under Mike Tomlin.
He worked with Mike for a year,
Oh, did he?
Right after all that craziness happened, he went and worked for Mike
Tomlin.
That's
the guy I want.
And then he went to Minnesota.
Right.
And the thing that I think, the reason why I think he'd be great is because the strength of this team is still the defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing well right now, but it's still the strength of the team. I can only imagine how more, I don't want to say intelligent because it's the wrong word, let's call it football IQ. How much greater the football IQ of guys like Sauce, even DJ, like some of these young players will be with him as your defensive coordinator, right? The things that they do in Minnesota is so complex, but they execute it like perfectly most of the time. And so much of that is on teaching. I think he's a good teacher. Now, he might have been an ass.
Well, this team needs an ass.
I'm talking about the Tua Tagovailoa.
Right, right.
But
We need an ass coaching
you,
our
need,
team.
You need that guy.
We do. Right? He's actually – now, the key is, and I love Brian Flores, especially a New York guy, too. He's a New Yorker. Yeah, right. He gets it. Yeah. He's going to understand us. He's got a bone to pick with the Giants and the right. Dolphins, which I also like.
Well, he's got a chip on his shoulder for the whole league. Yeah. I mean, this right. guy's got something to prove coming back to be a head coach.
He
Let's
just
be honest.
He just has to find the right offensive mind with him because – whether it's developing Jordan Travis or someone that they draft, or even if it's Rodgers, it's only a year, let's be honest.
Right.
They need that guy who's not going to screw up a young quarterback like we've unfortunately had for years. But I think Brian Flores, he's the perfect guy.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
I think he'd want the job, too. I think he'd want this opportunity.
The more I thought about it, I think he's the perfect guy. Now, the one thing, who's the GM?
Wow.
Because, you know, you can't bring Douglas back. And, you know, we've seen mistakes before when you bring in a head coach and you don't have the general manager yet.
Right.
You know, so that's a big problem. You know, I don't know. Where do we go for the GM? I don't think Douglas is coming back. I mean, I don't see how he can.
Yeah. A couple things from this game. We're talking to Joe B in his weekly spot, Jets lose to the Colts. Were you in favor of going for two when they went up seven? That's kind of like a new age analytic thought, but Rodgers was signaling it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Jets decided to kick the extra point. It turned out to not make a big difference because then the Colts went for two and they failed. But in the moment, did you like the idea of going for two to try to make it a two-score game?
I didn't have a great problem with not going for two. My big problem was not going for it on fourth and two in the fourth quarter. That was the big problem. I didn't have a problem going for two. You know, they still were going to be up eight. You know, they still needed a 2-point conversion. But, you know, after they walked down the field like they did to score, I think it was like five plays they were in the end zone.
Yeah.
It didn't take them long. You know, that's when I said, man, we just cannot. We cannot allow this team to where a champ, you know, they can win the game. Look, it wouldn't have mattered either way. They would have needed a field goal. We didn't get the first down. But at least you got to go for it there. You're 3-7.
So here's the key question. They went for it earlier in the game on that fourth and short.
And didn't get it, that stupid play with Conklin.
Right.
The direct By the way, stop. It was very funny. By the way, give McCourty credit for taking a shot at the play with Conklin, as it said. They're not going to give – I think it was the situation with the Colts. Well, they're not going to give it to Conklin at tight end.
Right. Yeah, he took
that was funny.
And Tiki pointed that out when he did that.
Right. How often has he done that in his life?
Oh, never.
Right. Never.
Right.
What play call, if they go for it on fourth and two from the 17, would you have wanted?
What play call would I want?
Because that's the second thing we would have
Here's what I want.
Yeah.
I would take a shot with the bootleg by Rodgers.
Mm.
Get him out of the pocket. You know, immediately get him out of the pocket and, you know, get somebody in the end zone. Get it out to somebody. I mean, that play he had for the touchdown with Yeboah was beautiful, right?
Yeah.
That was a nice play. I mean, have something like that. I wouldn't have run it up the middle. I don't think they would have got it. They never get it when they run for it on fourth.
Nah, they'd be brutal with that.
They would have had to throw it. But still, even with whatever the play call was, the play, they had to go for it there. They had to. As far as I was concerned.
Where do you think this season's going? Do you think they're going to win a few games? Do you think they're going to crawl up and lose more as this plays out?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to be. I mean, there's so many bad teams in the league. I mean, you look at the teams that are below them. I mean, God. They're going to win a couple more. They'll find a way to win a few more games. I'll be surprised if they don't. I think they'll win like six. I think they'll go 3-3 the last six games, and it'll be just bad enough or just good enough to get them like the 10th or 11th pick in the draft. You know, something. No, but I mean, look, that doesn't mean you can't find the quarterback there. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, one idea I had, I mentioned this to Tiki last week, and obviously it's got to be the right quarterback, is I would use Sauce Gardner as a chip to try to trade up.
Mm.
Like, I would, especially if it's Jacksonville picking number one and they want to keep Trevor Lawrence and they're just going for it and they're retooling. Sauce and my first to trade up to own this draft and maybe get the quarterback of the future, because I think that's an enticing piece that no other team could really offer. A cornerback who's not making big money yet, who's a borderline star.
I think it
depends
who the coach is. I mean, if you bring a guy, let's say you bring Flores in or you bring Rex in, okay? Those guys might say, wait a minute. You know, I can fix this guy and get him back to being the player that, you know, he was his rookie year, or certainly the player he can be. See, I think if you get – I'm not against what you're saying.
Right.
But I think if you get the right guy in there, like I said, a guy like Rex, a guy like Flores, who are defensive guys, they may say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to fix this guy. So I'm not against it, but I think if you get the right coach in there, he might have that feeling like, you know, hey, I'm not going to – I can – maybe I can really turn this guy into the cornerback we'd like to see him be.
Yeah. Well, we know what he's capable of doing. He's just had a terrible year. That's the problem. Even yesterday, it wasn't the tackling. It was leaving guys wide open. That was the issue.
Well, he got beat. Remember, on the first touchdown by the Colts,
yeah.
He got beat on the play that went down to the one-yard line, and then he missed a tackle. The guy beat him, and then he missed a tackle
right.
at about
That's
the 10-yard right. line, and the guy went to the one-yard line. They scored on the next play on a run.
Unbelievable. Well, the good news is we can't lose next weekend, so that's a positive.
And please, can they stop being – why are they favored in these games?
I mean,
you make a fortune. I mean, you would if you bet against the Jets every week, you could retire now.
You're
and
right.
The other thing is, too, and this is a memo to all – everybody out there that bets, okay? Mm-hmm. Anytime you get the Pittsburgh Steelers getting points anywhere – but getting points at home, you have to take them,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
I mean, to
Fact.
Me, that was the lock of the week. Even though I didn't score a touchdown yesterday, 6 field goals, Mike Tomlin's the best coach in the league. I'm sorry. All due respect to Andy Reid and Sean McVay and Shanahan, you know, and Jim Harbaugh and even, you know, and even John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. The best coach in the league is Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, week to week. He hasn't had the quarterback to win a championship.
Well, now, you know what? But now he's got Russell Wilson. He's got Russell Wilson playing like it was 2014, T.
I know. He's playing inside himself.
There you go.
He's not letting him be rogue and try to be a
Right.
You don't need to win the MVP, Russell Wilson. You just need to win games.
Right.
Period.
Right.
All this talk about Buffalo getting the number one seed now because they beat
Buffalo.
Kansas City. The Steelers have a legitimate
Watch
shot
out.
At it. And they're playing the Chiefs on Christmas in Pittsburgh, Week 17.
And isn't that But isn't that like a prime game? Or
That's a
nonsense?
Netflix game.
Oh man, that's but, what it is. Netflix.
Yeah, after the Mike Tyson thing.
Did you watch the Mike Tyson thing?
What are you, delirious? look, I am a big boxing guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was Muhammad Ali when I was growing up. Teak Muhammad's one of my guys.
Yep.
Loved Muhammad.
Oh,
okay?
You're lucky, man.
The night he lost to Joe Frazier in March 8th of 1971, the greatest fight that in the history of mankind, as far as I'm concerned, better than the thrill in Manila because they were younger, and it was even though we lost, even though Muhammad lost, best fight I ever saw. I watched it in Paramus at one of the big theaters here when I was 16, 17 years old, and I was like the only guy in the place rooting for Ali. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yep.
All right. But so I was fortunate enough to see Muhammad. I was, the era of Ray Leonard, a big Ray Leonard guy, and Marvin Hagler,
right.
and Thomas Hearns, and Roberto Duran, right on through Tyson, right up until the night Tyson got beat by Buster Douglas.
Right, in Japan.
Right, in 1991, when he lost that fight. And there was still some decent fights after that. Riddick Bowe and Holyfield. Holyfield had that fight with George Foreman. It was still, Lennox Lewis. There was some fights with him weren't bad.
Mm.
But that was kind of the end. When Douglas took out Mike, that kind of was the end of me with boxing. So, but I was a big boxing guy, but there was no way. A 58-year-old Mike Tyson against this guy that's 27 years old?
Yeah.
What do you think you're getting?
But Joe, he could have beat his ass, man. He really could have.
You're talking about, what's his name, James? What was the guy's name?
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul,
like
that's
he,
it, sorry.
He didn't counter at all.
There right.
So many
he didn't
times.
Want to hurt him.
Exactly right. He
no,
didn't want
clearly
to hurt
not.
Him. He wanted to cash in on the $20 million, take care of his family, and call it a day.
Well, it's a good thing you missed it. It was boring as all
right.
hell.
By the way, we started watching it, Joe, and about, around two rounds in, the little wheel of death started. And so we were like, all right, it'll come back. We fell asleep.
What do you mean
the wheel of death is? So you got to explain it to
basically,
him.
When your internet goes out and it just starts spinning, like,
oh, I see.
And it just everything freezes.
Right.
So we kind of like, it'll come back in a second. We fell asleep. We woke up the next one. It was still spinning.
That's unbelievable.
Are you serious?
It was bad.
Imagine watching Chiefs against the Steelers and that's happening as the game starts.
No, I wouldn't be happy
Apparently,
about that.
You had to reset. Like, you had to log out and then reset it
to get it
to come back. So Netflix kind of failed that.
Yeah, it was not a good night for Netflix.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly the thrill in Manila, I can tell you that.
No,
you know
it certainly
mean?
Wasn't.
No.
Thank you, Joe. Good talking to you, man. We
all right, guys,
it,
all the love. Be well.
Great.
In a couple weeks.
You got it. The great Joe Beningo after a Jet loss.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.